Man, if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 16. We pick it up at verse 2. And they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face, and he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, "Tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, that is, who is set aside for his use only, and will cause him to come near to him, that the one whom he chooses he will cause to come near to him. Do this, take censers, Korah and all your company, put fire in them and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is the Holy One. You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi." Then Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi. Is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to serve them, that he has brought you near to himself, you and all your brethren, the sons of Levi, with you? And are you seeking the priesthood also? Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you complain against him?" And Moses said to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they said, "We will not come up." He called them. They said, "We will not come up. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us?" We read this text this morning, and the focus is verse 13. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us? The Wycliffe Bible reads, "Thou leddest us out of the land that flowed with milk and honey to slay us in the desert." I mean, hang on a minute. We read Exodus 3, verses 7 to 8, and the Lord said, "I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, that is, I know their pains. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey." Remember the oppression? Recall the cries? Recollect the sorrows. Exodus 3:17, "I have said I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to a land, to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey." Leviticus 20, verse 24, "I've said to you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God who has separated you from the peoples." God saw the oppression of his people. He saw the oppression of people. He heard their cries. He knew their sorrows, the misery, the poverty, the grief, the pain, physical, mental, emotional. He knew the depression. He knew the trouble and the anguish, the affliction, such affliction. And a cry for freedom in the earth, cries for freedom, for liberation, for release, for salvation. I have come down to deliver them. I will bring you up out. And the call, the cry of the Spirit of God was, let my people go. And we know according to the text that it happened. The Lord delivered them. The Lord brought them out. The Lord triumphed gloriously, his mighty hand and his outstretched arm. I have come down to deliver them, to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. The Lord said, I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I will bring you up out of the affliction to a land flowing with milk and honey. And the journey had begun. The journey was underway. But you know, there's a wilderness before the promised land. A desert. And time spent in the wilderness, time spent in the desert can mess with the mind and mess with the spirit. If we don't journey in right manner, in right fashion, if we don't do what should be done in the wilderness and through the wilderness. Exodus 5:1. Let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Darby translation, let my people go that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness. The NIV reads, let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness. Exodus 7:16, let my people go so that they may worship me in the wilderness. Exodus 8:1, let my people go that they may serve me. The NIV, let my people go so that they may worship me. We can't let go of the way in the wilderness. The flow in the wilderness. We've just read words like feast, festival, serve, worship. But I ask today, how many let go of feasting? How many lose the festive? How many lose the serving? How many lose the worship? You see, the land flowing with milk and honey was not right outside the limits of Egypt. There was a journey, and a necessary journey. But you know, this can speak in many ways today. This day, a time of wilderness, a desert time. In times such as these, we must hold feast to the Lord. We must hold festival to the Lord, festive to the Lord. In times such as these, we must serve the Lord and continue serving the Lord, not falling back, not pulling back, not shrinking back. In times such as these, we must worship, continue worshiping, not pulling back. Exodus 8, verse 20, the Wycliffe Bible reads, the Lord saith these things, deliver thou my people, that it make sacrifice to me. The Lord saith these things, let my people go so that they can worship me. And yes, don't let go of sacrifice. Don't cast off sacrifice. It makes all the difference in the wilderness. Why live a lesser level in the wilderness? The lesser level is a killer in the wilderness. We know by way of the text, the Bible records, a generation didn't make it through. A generation didn't make it out. And yet, even if we make it through, somehow make it through at a lesser level, it wasn't what it should have been. And it wasn't what it could have been. A lesser level in the wilderness, the desert, has kept many in the very place. A lesser level, a lesser flow in the wilderness, in the desert, has kept many in the very place. Or for a lengthened period. And the truth is that some have never come out of the wilderness, the desert. Some have passed on. They've taken up the ghost right there in the wilderness, right there in the desert. The Spirit of the Lord will speak today. Well, for those that came out of Egypt, rescued, the miraculous rescue of God. For those that came out of Egypt, instead of feast, festival, serve, worship, sacrifice, it was murmur, complain, test, try. Even a God of gold. Hard to believe. And this hard to believe, Numbers 16:13, is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness? I mean, can you believe it? Can hardly believe it. Sure, there were times along the way where they wanted to return to Egypt. And, you know, that's crazy. But this, you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey. That's what they're calling Egypt now. The Amplified, you have brought us up out of a land of plenty, flowing with milk and honey. The Voice translation reads, you took us out of a place that was so rich, Egypt, flowing with milk and honey. Blown away. We now turn to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 20, pick it up at verse 1. It came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, on the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, this, thus says the Lord God, have you come to inquire of me? As I live, says the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Will you judge them, son of man? Will you judge them? Then make known to them the abominations of their fathers. Say to them, thus says the Lord God, on the day when I chose Israel and raised my hand in an oath to the descendants of the house of Jacob and made myself known to them in the land of Egypt, I raised my hand in an oath to them, saying, I am the Lord your God. On that day I raised my hand in an oath to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt into a land that I had searched out for them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all lands. Then I said to them, each of you throw away the abominations which are before your eyes, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. but they rebelled against me and would not obey me. They did not all cast away the abominations which were before their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles among whom they were, in whose sight I had made myself known to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, I made them go out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live. He shall live by them. By them he shall live. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they greatly defiled my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. But I acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles, in whose sight I had brought them out. So I also raised my hand in an oath to them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all lands, because they despised my judgments and did not walk in my statutes, but profaned my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, my eye spared them from destruction. I did not make an end of them in the wilderness. What text? I mean, that is quite the portion of Scripture. I made them go out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness, and I gave them my statutes, God Almighty giving them his statutes, showing them his judgments, which if a man does, he shall live. Proper life, proper living, proper manner and existence. It's the only proper way in the wilderness. For the wilderness. I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Keep his Sabbaths in the wilderness, like keep going to church in the wilderness. Same level, same commitment. Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they greatly defiled my Sabbaths. They despised my judgments and did not walk in my statutes, but profaned my Sabbaths, for their heart went after idols. God had just brought them out. They saw the power of God Almighty. There was no God like their God. Out of Egypt and now a wilderness journey on the way to the promised land, in their heart went after their idols. The Living Bible reads, they laughed at my laws, ignored my wishes, and violated my Sabbaths. Their hearts were with their idols. New Century Version, they rejected my laws and did not follow my rules. They dishonored my Sabbaths and wanted to worship their idols, but I had pity on them. I did not destroy them or put an end to them in the desert. And the Voice Bible reads, they ignored my rules and strayed from my laws and polluted my Sabbaths, for they were completely devoted to their idols. I looked on them with mercy and did not destroy them in the wilderness. A wilderness journey, a desert journey, carries with it hunger it carries with it thirst. And we know how faithful the Lord was. He continually provided for them manna, water, wilderness provision, desert diet, and thank God for the cloud and the fire. Wilderness journey carries with it the pressure of time. Taking too long. This is taking too long. You know, I really just want to encourage us today that the Lord is so faithful, and He will lead us to the promised land. To the promised land. He will provide for us in the wilderness, in the desert. His leading is perfect, and His provision is perfect. In times such as these, we must hold feast to the Lord. We must hold festival to the Lord. We must serve the Lord and continue to serve the Lord, not pulling back, not shrinking back, not falling back. In times such as these, we must worship. We need to continue worshiping, not pulling back. We need to keep His statutes and His judgments, which if a person does, they shall live by them, even in the wilderness. Keeping His Sabbaths. For the Bible says it's a sign between us and Him. And the Lord forbid that we ever utter such words as these. You have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey. Is the wilderness all sunshine and rainbows? No. Oppression in the wilderness? Cries in the wilderness, sorrow, misery, poverty, grief, pain, physical, mental, emotional, depression, trouble, trial, temptation, turmoil, anguish, affliction. You know, sometimes these find place in the wilderness. He's saying today, well, I thought that was all Egypt, and I've been brought out of Egypt. Spiritually speaking, we have been brought out of Egypt. The application of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we have journeyed through the wilderness and we've come into the promised land. We are living the Christian life, the Christian existence. The land is different. And surely the milk and the honey are flowing. And yet, we still live in this world, in it, but not of it. And we know that we are on our way to the great promised land. Glory. The journey isn't such that we came out of Egypt and then a wilderness and then the promised land. Should we have made it out of the wilderness and you know, then back into Egypt, and then another wilderness, and then the promised land. This is not some sick cycle. But life has seasons of wilderness, seasons of desert. These seasons come. It's just the way it is. And in some cases, wilderness seasons, desert seasons are necessary. Wilderness seasons, desert seasons, necessary that God get us where He wants to take us, that God place us where He wants to place us, and that God make us what He wants to make us. Do we not know that our God is for us and that our God is with us? Does the mind think and the mind tell us that God is only in the promised land? And not in the wilderness? That when we find ourselves in a wilderness time, a desert season, that God is not with us? God is just as much with us in the wilderness, the desert, as he is in the promised land. You know, there's a test. There's a test in the wilderness. A testing. There's often a proving as the Lord takes us from glory to glory, from strength to strength. When we find ourselves in the wilderness, a desert, and the times that the Lord leads us there, you're saying God doesn't lead us into a wilderness. Well, he led his people into the wilderness. And what about Jesus? Was he not led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness? But we too, if we keep right manner, right flow in the wilderness, we too can come out having kept the faith. Come out in the power of the Spirit. I share these words today. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, encamped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Why is it that you have brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." Exodus 17, 1 to 4. God had led Israel to the driest place in the whole wilderness. It was a testing place with no stream, no well, not even a trickle of water. Most baffling of all, Israel was led there according to the commandment of the Lord. God himself had allowed his people to grow thirsty. And the people thirsted there for water, verse 3. Babies were crying, children wailing, grandparents suffering parched throats. Parents looked at their families and thought, in a few days, we'll all be dead. So they turned in anger to Moses, crying, "Give us water to drink." They were still depending on man, on the flesh. I want to stop here to point out something. First, God took Israel to Migdol by the sea to test them, and they failed to trust him. Next, he took them to Marah, where he had another plan of deliverance, and they failed again. Now, he brought them to Rephidim for more testing. Do you see the pattern? If you don't learn to trust the Lord in simple, childlike faith when you are being tested, he will bring you back to yet another testing ground. Israel was in just such a place once again. They were hot, thirsty, angry. But God already had a plan. He was not going to let them die there. He had chosen beforehand to have them walk up Mount Horeb to a reservoir of water that he had prepared long before. And that source would last not just a day, a week, or a month, but 38 years. Yet God was waiting. God was waiting for a response of faith from Israel. He was saying, "I have taken you through all these things, but you've refused to learn. Will you trust me now? How many more problems do I have to allow in your life before you trust me?" Our Heavenly Father would never lead his children into a dry desert only to let them die of thirst, especially when he had a reservoir stored in a nearby rock. God has always had a plan for his people, and he has a plan for you right now to deliver you from your present trouble. But you're like, "What are you saying? God allows problems in our lives? If it means faith, simple childlike faith, if it means trust, and a returning hope of returning from waywardness. Wilderness for waywardness. Right now, it might not be in your theology. Just live a little longer. Try and go deep with God and in God. Get serious about the Christian life, and you'll realize. And if you're in a wayward spot, if you're wayward from God, if you've fallen back or shrunk back to God, that He would lead you into a wilderness, that He might bring you back. You might learn and cry out to the living God that there might be a returning. Returning to the Lord. What a line. They were still depending on man, on the flesh. Perhaps we view the problems differently this day. It may just be that God is trying to wean us off dependency on man, on the flesh. He's trying to have us a people of faith. Proven faith, strong and stronger faith, trusting fully in the Lord. Have we journeyed in the wilderness? Are we journeying in the wilderness? And the question is, how have we journeyed in the wilderness? How have we carried ourselves in the desert? Are we there right now? In this lifetime, we will know. The wilderness, we will know the desert. It's part of the journey. It's part of the road on this side of heaven. You know, for one, we live in a fallen world. For two, it's necessary for spiritual growth, development, advancement, conquest. Most tragic of all is when people in the wilderness, in a desert season, start calling Egypt a land flowing with milk and honey. God's led you out of something that you cried to get out of. You were so desperate. You hated the place. You loathed the place. Pain and suffering and anguish and turmoil and torment. Get me out. And you came out. But you weren't prepared for a wilderness. That's part of the journey. There's a wilderness before the promised land, so the journey had begun. Should have came out with feasting and festival and worship and praise and honor for God and full trust in God and courage. You see what our God just did to Egypt? How He brought us out? Oh, we can trust Him. He's going to lead us. And He split the Red Sea. He kept providing. But you know how many get to a place, for whatever reason, in the wilderness where they utter such words? You know, I can't imagine how this breaks the heart of God. The Knox translation reads, "Thou hast brought us away from Egypt, a land that was milk and honey indeed, to die here in the desert? No land of milk and honey for our journey's end, no fields and vineyards to enjoy? What more wilt thou ask of us? Wilt thou pluck out our eyes too?" Well, they had already lost vision. They had already lost sight. They were blind. They're speaking to Moses. They're speaking to Moses, but God is hearing it all. God's listening to it all. He's observing it all. He's viewing it all. He's taking it all in. The Message paraphrase reads, "Isn't it enough that you yanked us out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in this wilderness? And now you keep trying to boss us around? Face it. You haven't produced." Can you imagine saying that to Moses? Oh, Pastor Mo, like you haven't produced. I'm going to go find another congregation. You haven't produced. You haven't brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey. You haven't given us the promised inheritance of fields and vineyards. You'd have to poke out our eyes. You'd have to poke our eyes out to keep us from seeing what's going on. I can't imagine. I mean, it's absolutely shocking. Well, the reality is that some wildernesses we create. Some deserts are of our choosing. And if we're there today, it's time to call on God. It's time to cast ourselves on the Lord. It's time to repent and ask for forgiveness and ask for His help and His guidance that we might do right in this time and come out of this place by His grace. A wilderness of our making, and heaven forbid, a wilderness, the wilderness of sin. These words, many Christians today have been turned back into a wilderness of their own making. They have no joy, no victory. To look at them, you'd think God had forsaken them years ago. No. He has simply turned them over to their own complaining and murmuring. Thank God Joshua and Caleb entered into the promised land. And they stood as green trees in God's house until their dying days. They were men of power and vision because they knew they were precious to God. You also are precious to the Lord in spite of your problems and failures. You can be a green tree in God's house just as Joshua and Caleb were. Simply stand on what God's word promises. He has brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. Psalm 18:19. That is the foundation of true faith. Perhaps the call today to feast to the Lord, hold festival to the Lord, come back to serving the Lord, even though you found yourself or you find yourself right there in a wilderness place, a wilderness season, a desert season. The call to continue serving the Lord. Worship and continue worshiping. Keep His statutes and judgments, which if a person does, they shall live by them. It's time to keep His Sabbaths. Keep coming to church. Keep going to church. Keep going to the prayer service. Young person, keep going to youth group. Parents, keep bringing your children to the children ministry, the children's programs. Keep His Sabbaths assigned between you and Him, between your family and Him. If we are in a wilderness now, not because of any wrongdoing, be encouraged and be strengthened today. Trust in the Lord. Depend on Him, not on man, not on flesh. Simple childlike faith. God already has a plan and a source that will last. It's time for us to respond in faith. It's time for all of us respond in faith. That text, you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness. Listen, our Heavenly Father would never lead us into a dry desert only to let us die. He has a reservoir stored in a nearby rock. God always has a plan for His people, and He has a plan for you right now. Now His heart and His plan is to lead us, to lead you to the promised land, to lead you to promise. In the wilderness, in the desert, don't desert. Worship ministry, please come. You know, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are living in bondage. You are oppressed. God sees the oppression even if you don't think it exists. The misery, the poverty, the affliction, such affliction You look at your land, it's no land of milk and honey. His announcement concerning you this day is, let them go. Let my people go. And the good news is that there's freedom today. In the person of Jesus Christ, there's liberation this day. There's salvation this day. Release from the house of bondage and the life of bondage. The call today to come out. Receive the grace and mercy of our holy God. And the application of the precious blood of Jesus upon your life. Come out, and he will lead you through the wilderness. He's so faithful. He will lead you through the days ahead. He will provide for you. He will feed you. Your shoes won't wear out. He will give you drink. The source, the reservoir, the rock, Christ Jesus. Drink, drink, and drink, and it will last. It will never run out, because he never runs out. Cry for freedom today. Cry out for freedom, for release, for liberation, for salvation. You know, he's here right now. This is the day of salvation. You've been led to this place. It's no mistake. Come to the reservoir. Come drink of the living water. God has always had a plan for you. He has a plan for you right now. And for those of us here today facing present trouble, God has a plan for us. He has a plan for us right now to deliver us from our present trouble. Let's trust him. Let's fully trust him. Let's love him. Let's be those that are standing and stand as green trees in God's house until our dying days. A people of power and vision, because we know we are precious to God. Standing on what God's word promises. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Psalm 18:19. This our foundation of faith. Well, what of those born in the wilderness? It's in the text. Born into a family in a wilderness or in the wilderness. You know, parents, fathers, mothers, what will we do now? What will you do now? Show sons and daughters right manner. The people born in the wilderness, on the way as they came out of Egypt. It's in the text. We're talking about the little ones. And the word was, I will bring in, and they shall know the land you despised. Sons, shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, till your carcasses are consumed. They bearing the brunt of the parents' infidelity. My Lord, you say, they'll be victims. By God, they shall go in. To them I will give it. They shall possess it. A word to the sons and daughters in this house that were born in the wilderness, born in a wilderness season, into a family in the wilderness, in a wilderness season. And the Spirit of the Lord will speak to those sons and daughters. Stick with God, even if parents aren't doing right in the wilderness. Keep the flow and manner, for God is with you and he is for you, and you will go into the land even if your parents don't make it out. That's where we're at, people. Let's stand in the house of the Lord today. If you need prayer, please feel free to make your way to the front. Lord, we want to journey right. We're coming back to festival. We're coming back to feast. We're coming back to serving. We're coming back to worship, God. Oh, fully trust in you. Our hope is in you, Lord. Simple childlike faith. God, you provide. You provide, God. Lord, help.